Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Ann G. from La Mesa.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ann, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Joe, for asking me to come share my experience, strength, and hope. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. This is a great meeting. Congratulations to the birthday recipients, and welcome to the newcomers. I really think it's great that you guys give out a 90-day chip here. I almost drank it 90 days, and I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, I'm really grateful to be here. I'm just going to share with you in a general way what I used to be like, what happened to me, and what I'm trying to be like today. My sobriety date is May 29th, 2004. My sponsor, her name is Karen. She's been my sponsor the whole time. And my home group is the Pass It On Big Book Study that meets on Wednesday night in Mission Valley. So I'll just start from the beginning. I was born and raised in Iowa. I'm the oldest of three kids, and I have a mom and a dad. And for a long time, I used to say that having a parent with mental illness was what was wrong with me. And sometimes that parent was medicated, and sometimes they were not. And I used to blame that for a long, long time. And I always felt irritable, and I always felt fearful, and I never knew how to act around people. And so I try to make you laugh and keep you at arm's length. And this is stuff I can put labels on now after doing the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. However, at the time, I just felt like a scared, angry person as a young person. And I finally got my relief in eighth grade. I had two eighth grade boys over and an eighth grade girl over. And my parents had gone away on their anniversary, which happened to also be May 29th. So my first day of really drinking is the same day as my sobriety date with 14 years in between. And there was a bottle of Jose Cuervo that had been unattended to in the basement. And so I cracked that open, and we started drinking out of the bottle. And we started passing that bottle around, and I just started to... All that self-centered fear and anxiety and what do you think of me and am I okay and do you like me and am I saying the right words and am I stupid and self-centered fear going on just kind of didn't matter anymore. And I felt like I could be with you guys, and then I started to drink more and I started to engage in some inappropriate behavior for an eighth grader. And then I thought to myself, this is my house. This is my booze. The boys are going to drink it all. I'm going to go finish this. And I went and locked myself in the guest bedroom, and I finished the bottle. And, you know, I was a skinny little eighth grader, and I was gone. And then it was 4 a.m., and my parents were home, and I was just really concerned if I got in trouble or not. I didn't think about the fact that I was missing a chunk of hours, that I didn't know where my friends were. I didn't know where those two younger brothers were that I was supposed to be babysitting. But I got away with it, and that's all that really mattered to me. And I didn't start drinking every day right then, but I started drinking on the weekends, and I never drank normally. Ever. And I always gravitated towards hard liquor. I had a huge capacity for beer, and it just took forever. I mean, I would just drink and drink and drink. And so I found that hard liquor was more efficient. And I would be at these keg parties in Iowa, you know, and go to the bikers that had the whiskey in their saddlebags and have some of that and then go get a beer. And I was laid out wherever I was. You know, I just was not a social drinker. And I didn't mean to get that way. I just liked the relief that alcohol gave me. And then once I put alcohol in my body, what our book says is I developed a phenomenon of craving, and my body wants another drink, and my body wants another drink. And that's what happened. And, you know, I drank like that through college. I graduated from high school with honors. I go to college. I get 3 D's and an F that first semester because I stopped going to class. And, you know, my mom was saying to me around that time, you're a budding alcoholic. You're a budding alcoholic. And I didn't understand what she meant. And her dad had died from alcoholism when she was 43, or when he was 43. She was 15. And his primary cause of death on his death certificate is delirium tremens. And I didn't know him. And so I didn't understand what she was saying to me. And I said, look, I've got good grades. I'm going to college. Leave me alone. And that's the podium version of how I spoke to her. And I ended up going to college. I graduated with a really low GPA and drove to California in 1998 and did the same thing out here. It was just nicer weather to be, you know, passed out outside in. And I just did the same things. And what was happening for me is the progression was happening. You know, I used to go to bars and be around others, even though I was a mess. And then it got to be isolated drinking, where I was drinking vodka alone And at the end of my drinking, I was drinking vodka on the floor every day of my apartment. And my theory was, you can't fall if you're already there. And I just did, I was so sick when I wasn't drinking. I didn't understand what was happening to me. I thought I just had really bad hangovers, but really I was detoxing. And I'd gone to more school to get a career because I thought that would fix me, and it just made it worse. And at the end of my drinking, when I wasn't drinking, all I did was think about drinking and think about suicide. And that's kind of where drinking took me, to this very lonely place. And one night, I threw up all over somebody's really nice car on the 101. I was living up by LA, and I noticed it. It was like the least of the things I had done out there drinking, but for some reason, it really bothered me, and I was embarrassed. And so I tried to have a Diet Coke between my martinis, and I never had a Diet Coke. We just heard chapter three. That was part of my chapter three. I never had a Diet Coke. Thank you. Once I started drinking, a Diet Coke sounded dumb. Stupid idea. Why would I have a Diet Coke? I need another martini. And then the last thing I did before I got sober is I tried not to drink Monday through Wednesday. That was my big lofty goal in life. I was 27 years old, and I couldn't not drink on a Monday. I didn't want to be drunk on a Monday, and I was drunk on a Monday. I didn't want to be drunk on a Tuesday, and I was drunk on a Tuesday. And I was really, really sick at work, and people were commenting on how I smelled at work. People were telling me I needed psychiatric help, and that I needed, well, not people, the administrator where I worked. Let's be clear, it wasn't just a coworker. It was people in charge and telling me I needed psychiatric help. And I thought maybe they could be right because of the parent I have, and so I... You know, I was really angry, and I just wanted to die. And what happened to me is I drove home drunk one last night, and I came to the next morning, and I thought, I can't do this anymore. I cannot live this way anymore. And it wasn't that I wanted to get sober and come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't want to be here. I never thought about it, honestly. I just didn't want to live my life like that anymore, and I didn't know what to do. And I didn't go to AA for 6 weeks, and I didn't drink for 6 weeks. And I detoxed at home, and I sweated a lot, and I didn't sleep. If you're new and you're not sleeping, it does get better. It took me about 4 months to get a normal sleeping pattern. What was happening, my aunt is sober 30 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. She lives in Oahu. And I met her a year before I got sober, and she was calling me every day outside the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't realize she was 12-stepping me, but she was saying things to me like, honey, normal drinkers don't go into a blackout every time they drink. And I was like, well, if you drank as much booze as I did, you would. I was like, I don't understand what you're saying, you know, because my alcoholic life was my normal life. That's all I knew from a young teenager. So then I... one of my bosses was sober at the time, 20 years. He's sober 30 years now. And the only thing good that happened to me was I was really, really bloated, really, really red. The white parts of my eyes were yellow. I looked horrible. And that kind of quickly dissipated in a few weeks. I lost weight really fast just from the bloat. And he said, what are you doing, Anna? Are you working out? What's going on? And my coworker said, that's because Ann stopped drinking. And I was like, ugh. And I didn't want this guy to know. And eventually Steve came and 12-stepped me and sat in my office and shut the door. And he began to talk to me, one alcoholic talking to another. And he goes, you know, you have to go to Santa Barbara for work tomorrow. Why don't you take this CD and go listen to it? And it was Sister Maurice from the Bronx. And I had never... I didn't know it was an AA speaker, and I listened to this speaker on the CD, and I laughed, and I cried, and she said, Alcoholics Anonymous taught her to what thine own self be true really means, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, not instead of thyself. And those things really hit home with me, and I brought the CD back to him, and I said, hey, can I have another CD? I said, I'll stay sober on CDs, and I don't need to go to meetings. My big battle cry was, I have a job. And so he said, why don't you go to this meeting? And I went to my first meeting, and I didn't identify as a newcomer. I sat there, I'm observing, thank you very much. But during that meeting, I identified, and that was where you guys got me. And during that meeting, I said, oh, my God, I'm an alcoholic. This is what's been wrong with me my whole life. And, oh, my God, I have to do these stupid steps and go to these stupid meetings. I'm going to kill myself. And then I went to a meeting the next day, and I went to a meeting the next day. And then I was sent up to Bellflower Big Book Group because I lived closer to up there. They said, ask for Karen or Johnny. That's what I did. Karen says, do you have a sponsor? I say, no. She says, I'm your sponsor. Go get in the greeting line. So that's how I got a sponsor. And she took me through the 12 steps as they're outlined in the big book. And she got me busy in AA. She had me go to regular meetings. Thank you. She had me go to meetings early, stay late, introduce myself to the newcomer. And I was like, but I am the newcomer. She's like, you've got more than one day. You can help the person with one day. And I had to give people rides. I didn't want to do any of it, but I did it. I stood in the greeting line at Bellflower for months every Monday. And my first year was hard. I was very emotional. I did the steps slowly. I don't it just was hard for me, but I did it. My whole message is I went even if I didn't feel like it. I did the steps even if I didn't feel like it, you know, and I took myself to the meeting even if I was in the worst mood in the world and didn't want to talk to anyone, you know, and I got that first year cake, and she says, and now we do it again. And so that's what I've been doing. And, you know, somewhere around 3 years of sobriety, I was praying on my knees every morning and night, and you know, I'm like, I'm just praying to a bedspread. This is so dumb. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this, and I don't believe, I feel no connection to a higher power. And I got into bed that night, and this little voice inside of me said, you're sober, aren't you? And I was like, oh yeah, I can't do that on my own. And that's, you know, I found a higher power here. I have found peace in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a relationship with my father I did not have before I got here because of the amends process. And my sponsor asked that I call him once a day at a day and time convenient for him. That was part of my amends. It wasn't my normal amends process. And you know, it was awkward at first. And now we're really, really close, closer than any of my best girlfriends. And I've been sponsoring women since I was 6 months sober. Not my idea, my sponsor's idea. But I'll tell you something, nothing showed ensures my immunity from a drink than working with another alcoholic. And nobody could have told me that. I had to have that experience. And it started by going to recovery homes in the Long Beach area and sitting down and reading the book with a new girl. And the way I felt afterwards was amazing. And to me, that's why I stay sober, is I have to continually try to reach my hand out to the new person. If you're new here in Alcoholics Anonymous, please stay. If you don't have a sponsor, I strongly suggest getting one, because they've had the experience. They can help you go through the steps, and the steps have really changed my life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing. We will have a drawing.